On KLYT, this is ABQ Connect.
Genevieve Wood joins us once again from the Heritage Foundation. Genevieve, thanks for taking the time.
Hey, Steve. Happy Good Friday.
Likewise, I hope, and I hope you have a great celebration of the resurrection on Sunday. Now I won't be out at, we have a stadium size event. It's a university stadium every year. Anywhere from 15 to 22,000 people come out for that on Sunday, which actually gates open at 6:30 and it gets underway at 7:30, but really looking forward to Mac Brock, worship leader and Calvary MSC, and then the message from Skip Heitzig. Listen, the reason I asked if you could spend some time with us today, I recently found an article at the Daily Signal it's actually dailysignal.com, and really talking about how Ron DeSantis was able to turn Florida red, according to the Faith Behrens, the author of the article, thinks it's going to stay that way. What does that have to do with New Mexico? Well, if our listeners and those that are going to the polls in coming elections want things to change, what are some of the things that Ron DeSantis did New Mexico is a very blue state, but it looks like there's a laundry list of things that he did that really made quite an impact.
Yeah, Steve, I mean, I think it's a good example that you don't have to have somebody come in and do everything overnight, or somebody come in and be a star, because the reality is when Ron DeSantis became governor, he'd been a congressman from Florida, but he wasn't known as a rising star literally at that point. He was known as a pretty good congressman, but he came back and, he's not razzmatazz on the speech stage, if you will, but he just started putting in some policies that people really on the left and the right could agree with. He cut property taxes, for example. If you're a Democrat and you own a house, you probably like that. If you're a Republican and you own property, you like that. So that wasn't really a partisan, hard issue. But then COVID happened, and that's where I think he showed a lot of leadership. He did what everybody else did originally. We're going to shut the country down for 14 days to stop the spread. But when it became clear it was going to be a lot longer than 14 days, if, Dr. Fauci and everybody else had their way about it, he started saying, in Florida, we're going to do things different. We're going to be smart about it, but we're not going to keep our kids out of school forever. We're not going to wear masks forever. We don't know that these things actually even making a difference at this point. And we're going to keep our economy open. And what happened from that, not only were the people in Florida happy, it was almost 700,000 people moved to Florida during that period from other states, primarily blue states, New York, New Jersey, all these states that had really been completely shut down, where people were like, not only do I want to be able to go to work again, I want my kids in school. I want to move somewhere my kids can go to school. I want to go live somewhere we can walk outside and people don't yell at you if you don't have a mask on. And so a lot of people moved and they found, wow, it's actually cheaper here. Property taxes are cheaper. My kids can go to school. Way of life seems to be easier and better. And again, that wasn't a partisan kind of thing. And so, for one election, he went by winning by a very close margin, like 35,000 votes, to the next time around, winning by, hundreds of thousands of votes. So clearly the people who had been sitting on the sidelines or who'd voted against him before were now on his side. And then again, a lot of it's just common sense stuff. He has been a big supporter of parental rights and education, that parents ought to have a say, not just in what their kids are taught when it comes to math and science and reading and so forth, but this whole debate over, putting trans stuff in the schools and telling kids, hey, you can be whatever gender you want and we won't tell your parents. He's like, no, we don't actually think that's an okay thing to do, and we're not going to do that in our schools. And turns out, guess what? Most parents agreed with him. So it's been a, you could say slow transition. It's been 4 to 5 years that he's, this has been happening. Well, actually longer. He came in before COVID, so say 6 to 7, but it's just been kind of common sense policy after common sense policy. And I think that's just made the state no longer be, you know, we're not up on election night, like, what's Florida going to do? Not that that couldn't change, but it used to be like, you know, you remember back to the Bush-Gore years, even when Obama and Romney were running and McCain, you know, Florida was a big toss-up. Like, if you won Florida, you might win the presidency. That was kind of where the eyes went. But now it's kind of a, I don't want to say a given, but nobody's usually worried about Florida now if you're on the Republican side of the aisle when it comes to a statewide election. That doesn't mean people, Republicans and conservatives, shouldn't, you know, remain vigilant and vigilant about things. But it's definitely moved to the right. And I think it just shows it doesn't have to happen overnight. Find issues that many people on both sides of the aisle can agree with and start working those.
Yeah, and you already mentioned just common sense, and along with that, truth. You know, and yeah, he wasn't afraid to call out the left media. And I love what you mentioned about, you know, parental rights and schools not teaching gender identity. But you know, and actually, and it's not really, I don't think it's addressed in the article. One of the things I wondered, as we saw so many people moving out of blue states to places like Florida and Texas, was how is that going to impact politics in those states when it comes to elections? And, you know, we saw the special election here recently in Florida, which seems to have, you know, gone the way of those hoping for a conservative leadership. But it's going to be interesting to see how, you know, as time goes on, how that may affect those states where so many people, I don't know. I don't get, if you're leaving a blue state for a red state, I guess you'd make the assumption maybe, you're voting conservative, but yeah, when they're leaving blue
always.
States, I know. Yeah. And it's just so, okay, well, I don't know.
Well, this is why I said you got to remain vigilant, you know, because I'm originally from Texas, and this has always been a concern of people in Texas. Like, you've got all these people moving there from California. You know, people in Arizona experience the same thing. And it can change the dynamics of the state. The influx of immigrants. You know, one of the things the left wanted to do was flood a lot of these states with immigrants, thinking they'll eventually vote more Democratic. Now, what we've actually seen, of course, if you look at this most recent election, Donald Trump won on the border of Texas in a way no Republican has ever won. I mean, it turned red on that border.
Right.
And that was an example of, like, you know what? People can see what's happening in their communities. And it doesn't matter what you're Republican or Democrat. They don't want certain things happening. They do want certain things happening. And they didn't think illegal immigration was helping their communities. And so they voted Republican. So, you know, but you have to go after new voters. You have to explain to people who've moved into your area, you know, why they moved there. Let's keep it this way, guys. So, you know, but every state's a little bit different, and you've got to find, you have to find the issues that people in your community care about the most, and then say, hey, let's do something about this.
Yeah. And if you just tuned in, we're visiting with Genevieve Wood from the Heritage Foundation, heritage.org, for details on the organization, and an article that we found at dailysignal.com, how Ron DeSantis turned Florida red and why it will remain that way. An article by Faith Behrens. Appreciate her hard work, as we do yours, Genevieve, and your time to kind of walk us through that and to give maybe some of our politicians and, you know, those in legislation and leadership in New Mexico, including, you know, we have a mayoral election coming up later this year. So, you know, we're talking to a governor here, but much of this applies on a smaller scale. So hopefully some folks are taking note. So listen, a very happy Passion Week. And of course, we hope you have a good Friday, in more ways than one on Good Friday. And we hope you have a good Friday. And of course, the celebration of the resurrection this Sunday. We appreciate your time and look forward to connecting again.
Thank you, Steve. Great to be with you, and happy Easter and a blessed Easter to you and all your listeners.
All right. And stay with us. More to come on ABQ Connect.